The following podcast is a work of fiction. All characters are the creation of Peter Williams. Any resemblance to someone living or dead is purely coincidental. Thank you.
Lies. We tell them. We tell them when we're embarrassed. When we're in trouble. We tell them about others. We tell them to our parents. And sometimes, we even lie to ourselves. Oh, we're not lonely. Things are great. That dress doesn't make you look fat. Ha! But when a lie unravels, it can have a devastating effect. Which begs the question, what happens when everything you know is a lie? This Tentacle Tuesday will unravel quickly as we start Chapter 10. Long Forgotten Memories. But before we begin today's chapter, and our usual disclaimer, I need to pass the baton over to our narrator, Mr. Williams.
Sir?
Yes, thank you. As usual, the podcast does contain images of graphic violence, child endangerment, and naughty, salty language. However, I must emphasize that this episode is very dark, with descriptions of domestic violence, and it may not be suitable for children under 13. Please, if you're a victim of domestic violence, remember, you're not alone. And if you need help, there is always someone to talk to. Call 1-800-799-7233. That's 1-800-799-7233. Thank you.
Now, let's walk together as we start this episode and head to Upper Rift. In Chapter 10, as I said before, Long Forgotten Memories.
Hello, Magpie. Maggie dropped the knife and fell onto her knees as she seemingly gasped for air, staring at the decrepit-looking human now rising from behind Jonah. The poison she had given him yesterday still affecting his senses as he focused more on the room and her, not noticing the ghastly thing. The beastly man's face was round, swollen, and dirty, his limbs twisted as if broken off and reattached haphazardly. His brown hair matted, greasy, falling out, and his teeth rotting in a cave-like mouth filled with a swollen tongue and black saliva. He was disgusting. Her head throbbed, and like a heartbeat pounding in her ears, images came flashing back, filling her head with... The sun beamed through the living room window, filling it with a warm glow. A tall man with brown hair and eyes smiled as he turned away from the blue stone mantle of the large fireplace and knelt down to welcome the rushing little girl into his arms. "Hello, Magpie," the man said softly to the child, as a woman stepped through the front door and into the bright sun. She was tall, wearing a white dress with a rose pattern. It hung off her pale, freckled shoulders. Brushing back her raven black hair, she smiled at the man as if astonished. "You're home early," she said, putting down another girl about 3.
"Yeah, it was such a gorgeous spring day that I thought I'd come home early and spend it with my girls."
The two kissed and the woman said, "I won't complain." The man placed Maggie on the floor and said, "Go play with Nicole out back. I bought you a nice surprise."
"Okay, Daddy,"
she said as she raced outside to a wooden swing set with a rope bridge that led to a sandbox. Both girls ran to it with an unbridled enthusiasm, with the typical chant of, "Daddy, push me, push me," accompanied with squeals and giggles. Maggie threw up.
"No, please, no."
She could see Jonah reaching towards her.
"What's wrong?"
Everything blurred some more, as if the memories were happening simultaneously with the moment she was in, as if time had frozen and she was being held captive, forced to watch something. The leaves had changed colors, and Maggie patted a large orange jack-o'-lantern next to the front door as her mom opened it. Reginald, Mr. Collins, was standing next to the fireplace again, polishing a strange-looking statue. He turned, beaming at the girls.
"Hey, you caught me."
"Home early again? Aren't you worried your boss will fire you?"
"Nah. I'm the number one sales rep. He couldn't afford to fire me."
"Oh, okay, sweetie. I'll take your word on it. Hey, what's that?
Noticing the statue in his hands.
Oh, this?
I found it while clearing out the back of the property. With winter coming, I thought it'd be best to clear away anything that could damage the house, or possibly hurt my little ladies.
It's creepy. Oh, stop.
He looked longingly at the statue. It was simple, a long tentacle with five eyes. Some lettering was on the base, but she couldn't make it out.
I like it. I think it's unique. I'll finish cleaning it up, and hey, at worst it's a great Halloween decoration.
He placed it on the mantle and she shuddered.
I'd prefer if you tossed it.
Oh, you're no fun.
You know that?
He sounded as if he was kidding, but something in his voice and eyes seemed off.
Fine, but after Halloween, I want it away.
Sure, sure. Hey, my little pretties, you like it, don't you?
Maggie shrugged her shoulders and Nicole bopped it with her tiny index finger.
Reggie, sometimes you're impossible, you know that?
But he was ignoring her, focused on Nikki, focused on the statue. The woman turned and went into the kitchen. Maggie just followed, leaving the two alone as they played near the mantle. The scene changed again. Her mom looked distressed as she paced the living room floor, staring at the clock, taking a large cloth and covering that ghastly tentacle statue. The door jingled and opened, and Reginald came in, looking disheveled, his eyes red and dark brown circles under them. His clothes didn't seem to fit right, the shirt wrinkled, the tie pulled to one side, and bruises along the side of his neck. He looked at his wife and rolled his eyes, barely keeping himself standing as he did so.
Oh, God, not this again.
You've been gone for 4 days, Reggie. Where? Are those hickeys on your neck? Reggie, it's bad enough you lost your job with Cal, but...
Blah, 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 blah. All you do is bitch and complain,
he said while mocking her, using his hand as if it was a mouth.
Is that all you have to say? Hey, why is that covering my statue? Because it's creepy, Reggie. Weird shadows seem to collect around it. I swear, I hear whispering and...
He pulled the cloth off and stood more erect.
Stop! You're being ridiculous! Reggie, you're not...
With the back of his hand, he sent her flying.
Listening to what? Huh? 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 What do you want me to hear? You have a fucking house. You have two fucking daughters. And I have provided all of this for you. So I don't want to hear about the statue. And I don't want to hear how creepy it is. Do I make myself clear?
She broke down in tears as he waltzed his way past her and the staring Maggie, who ran to her mother not understanding what she had done wrong. Not understanding what was wrong with Daddy. A few days passed and Maggie awakened, frightened as a storm ravaged the house and yard. Thunder boomed over the hills and Nikki tossed fitfully in the midst of her own nightmare. Maggie trotted out of her room to see the warm glow of candles and a dying fire coming from the living room. Her dad was talking, whispering to someone. He looked strange, his shirt dirty or bloody. She couldn't be sure. He was holding the strange little statue, petting it as a silhouette embraced him.
And if I let you have them, I can have anyone I want, yes?
Yes, and I will let you feed on any of your choosing.
Both girls, yes, both girls?
Yes, and I will raise them on my own, feeding them the blood of our great master, helping them to grow strong in power.
And I can keep my new family. I like them. Ooh, and the Jess girl, she's just so young and sweet.
Of course, darling. It's compensation for your girls.
And
he looked over at the terrified woman, lying tied up on the floor, a gash over her eyes as if hit by something heavy. Her eyes pleading as sobs convulsed over her entire body.
Kill her! She'll make a fine skin for me, making it easier to raise the girls.
Yes, yes, she has such a pretty skin, doesn't she?
Maggie couldn't stand there silent anymore and choked out,
Mommy! Teddy, please, don't hurt Mommy!
Oh, Magpie, you weren't supposed to see this.
Something hard hit her in the head and everything went blank. Maggie snapped back to the now. Her vision still blurred. Jonah was still standing in front of her, reaching towards her, trying to help her up.
You're...
Oh, no. It looks like someone remembered something they shouldn't have. Boy, am I going to be in trouble. But not if I kill your boyfriend first, I won't.
Jonah, run!
It was too late. Shadowy light tentacles rose up from behind the man, squirming and slithering in the air like a multitude of cat's tails wagging.
Run, Jonah, run!
She tried again, the words catching in her dry throat. Maggie, what's wrong? Jonah asked, confused. He sensed nothing, felt nothing. Why did she look so? Maggie watched as his eyes went wide in pain and in horror, as something pierced him through his right shoulder. He grabbed at it, warm blood now pouring out of the wound, through his shirt and onto his hand.
Oh, silly me, the thing said. The human heart's on the left side.
The door frame behind Maggie exploded. A huge man holding an axe raced in and leapt over her as another tentacle reared back, ready to strike Jonah a second time.
Run!
He yelled at the boy as he plowed into the thing once known as Reginald Collins. Maggie watched, trying to wrap her mind around the thought, that horrible, terrible thought, that that thing was once her father. A deep feeling of anger and resentment swelled up inside Maggie as she thought about Mother. Mother hadn't saved them. It had been a lie. The truth was, he had sold them. Sold them to her for some sickly fantasy. That also meant something else. An undeniable truth. A truth that has been calling out to her over and over again as she refused it. That she and Nicole were human.
Oh no, Nikki.
It was weeks away from her ceremony, from completing her contract. She stumbled her way out the door and into the rain as the two fought behind her. So much pain, so many things she had wrong. And Jonah? She could see him a few feet up ahead, leaning against a big rock. His shirt was stained with blood, his face pale, gasping for breath as rain pelted him.
Jonah,
she said as she slowly made her way towards him. His face turned to her in a mechanical-like fashion, his eyes graying over. It was obvious he wouldn't live much longer.
Maggie?
He sounded more like a spirit than a young man.
Why? Why was the man from the bus? Why was he?
He coughed and vomited black blood. Maggie looked at him with pleading eyes.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I did it.
An explosion came from behind them as the big man bounded his way out of the shattered remains of the house and towards Jonah, scooping him up without effort and tossing him on his shoulder.
Is this your work, witch? Pray that I make it back to the cafe in time, or I'll be back to hunt you shortly.
He leapt into the air, and it briefly looked as if he had mammoth wings as he raced over the hillside and back away from the city of Rift. Things grew eerily quiet as nothing moved in the house behind her. She wondered, was it dead? Was it? No. Something still gave off a foul presence. With the rain and limited options, she looked down the hillside and at the city. She wouldn't have long until Mother found out that she knew the truth. She would need to go back to the flower shop, destroy the mirror, and then figure out a way to reach Nikki. Or wait. Maybe she could play dumb. The thing had failed to kill Jonah and had accidentally awakened her from the deep spell she was under. It was likely that it would fear Mother's wrath as much as she did. Maybe. Maybe she could keep things together and trick Mother the way she had been tricked. 3 weeks. Maybe. She trudged her way back to the dirt road and slowly started to descend back towards Rift.
Maggie. Maggie plans to gamble, to try and deceive a great deceiver. Can she succeed? Can she reach her little sister in time? And Jonah, oh, poor Jonah. Your foolish decision to go to Rift has resulted in disaster for you and so many others. Has your rescuer arrived in time? We'll learn this and more as we head to the halfway mark of our little story and chapter 11, Caught in the Rain.